We're going to be in Galatians tonight, chapter 5. So if you want to turn there, we'll get there in a little bit. I have to say that if you were here for Bruce's sermon this morning and you're back here tonight, you would have thought that Bruce and I sat down all week and put these two together. He preached this morning on the plan of salvation and kind of left it with we need to live a righteous life thereafter. And I happen to put together the responsibilities of thereafter. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about what happened and what was going on in the church of Galatia. The letter to the Galatians is actually a letter to the churches in a region called Galatia. And the people in this area, the majority of them, had adopted myths, Greek myths and Roman myths, and then spread out throughout the land were Christians that had listened to Paul preach and converted themselves to Christianity. There were a few believers mixed in with all the people that had the myths of the Greeks and the Romans. The people of Galatia, they were a fairly good people. They were cordial, but they were impulsive. They were changeable, and they were inconsistent, not only with their beliefs in Christ, but also their own lives. And as we look at the world today, we kind of see the same thing happening. We have a world today, most people are cordial. Most of us are somewhat impulsive, if we really admit it. Most of us are somewhat changeable, and we're not real consistent sometimes. And you see that especially with non-Christian people. Those that live out in the world, they kind of tend to go from here to here to here and then maybe back to here, and they're constantly vacillating from one thing to another. So that's kind of what was being dealt with in the region of Galatia. And news had come to Paul, and he was just, basically he was marveled at the fact that the Galatian Christians were so soon removed from what he had taught them. He couldn't believe it. The word we use today is he was amazed at what was going on. They were listening to false teachers of the Judaizers. It was that simple. And what was going on there, and as we look at the book of Galatians, Galatians can be somewhat of a difficult letter to understand and to put together. And I've studied it quite a bit. I've done some sermons on it. But it's a somewhat difficult book, because you have to really understand the Old Testament and the Old Law in order to put together the whole story of what's going on. So just in kind of a short summary of what's going on here, under the Old Law, you had the law plus perfect obedience, and with that, that would equal righteousness. And that's what the Jews had been brought up under, the chosen people, the Old Law. All right, now Christ comes along, and he's hung on the cross, and his blood is shed, so that we might have salvation and forgiveness of sin through God's grace. So now, here's what the Judaizers, or legalists, if you will, here's what they were teaching. It's okay to have Christ on the cross. They understood we needed that. But they also wanted to hang on to the traditions and the teachings of the Old Law. And then along with that, they also wanted perfect obedience. And then all that would equal righteousness. So you would have the thing, if you put it up on a chart, you would have Christ and the cross plus the law plus obedience equals righteousness. Well, if Christ died on the cross so that we might be saved through God's grace, then if this is true, then why would you even go through the steps that Christ went through to die on the cross? If his blood was not shed for the forgiveness of sin to get rid of the old law and to get rid of this perfect obedience, then why did he even go through it? That's the question that we need to have as we look at this kind of thing that's going on in Galatia. Paul preached, we preach, New Testament church preaches. Yes, we had the old law, but that transcended into Christ and the cross. And then that plus me and the cross equals righteousness, which leads to a life in the Spirit. We're told when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. So once we're baptized, once we come up out of the water, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So the old law basically set aside over here. Then you have Christ on the cross. Because I'm buried with Christ in water and I touch the blood of Christ as I go into baptism, now it becomes me in the cross, along with Christ. That all equals righteousness. And that righteousness then transcends because we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what Paul was up against, and this is what the Christians in Galatia were up against. And because they were a people that were easily changeable, they were easily taken away from what their beliefs were, they had gotten clear away from what Paul taught. And that was back to basically they were teaching circumcision. So as we look at chapter 5, and I want to look at quickly just some things here of what Paul laid out, what these Christians needed to be doing. I want you to think about it this way, if you'll let me do this. I want to take and contrast the old law with the world. And then I want to contrast the new law with new people coming in as Christians into the church. Because that's really what was going on back then. You had Jews that had been brought up in the old law. They had been completely, I don't want to use the word brainwashed, but they had been taught the old law, Jewish traditions, Jewish theology, all this thing. Paul himself was taught that. And now all of a sudden you're coming out of this old law into a new law, and it's hard to give up traditions. It's hard to give up those things that you had in this other world. It was hard for the Jews coming out of Judaism to come into Christianity and not hang on to some of the stuff that they were carrying with them. All right, so now if you take the old law and you contrast it to the world today, I'm going to say for a Christian, that's the old world, if you will. People coming out of that old world into the new world, which is Christianity, have the same things that they bring with them as the Jews had when they came into Christianity from Judaism. And if you think about it that way, that's why it's so difficult sometimes for people coming out of the world to come into Christianity and make it work for them. They maybe have had families that are not Christian. You know, not everybody was as fortunate as I am. I grew up and was raised in a Christian family, in the church. That was the easy way to find my way. But there's a lot of people that don't have that advantage. So they're coming out of a world that is completely different to them than what Christianity is. The Jews were coming out of a world that's completely different to them than what Christianity is, especially when it came to the belief of being saved. So that's what we're dealing with today, and that's why it's so difficult, I think. You know, we see people that are baptized and they're ready to go. They are just, you know, flat out for Christ, for everything, and pretty soon you see them just kind of slow down a lot of times. And it might be that some of this, just like's happened here in Galatia, it might be some of this teaching over here in this whole world has gotten back in their life. I think that happens. So let's take a look at what happens. What's the responsibilities of this freedom that we now enjoy? And the freedom that I'm talking about here is the same freedom that the Jews had when they came out of the bondage of the old law into the new law. They had a freedom that they didn't know about. They didn't understand it, but they had responsibilities. We came out of an old world. At one time, we were all, I think everybody in here, we were all baptized. We came out of an old world into a new world. We came out of the bondage of what the world teaches, what the world thinks, into a freedom of Christ. So now what's our responsibility? How do we act and react to that newfound freedom that we have? We're not bound to anything else. We have a freedom within Christ. I want to start, we're going to look at basically the end of chapter 5. I want to start with verse 13. 13 through 15 to start with. And it reads this way. And Paul, again, this is to the church at Galatia. If you read the first part of chapter 5, he talks about the teaching that they've had due to circumcision, and they've gotten back into the old ways. And he picks it up in verse 13, and he says, "Now for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Now, what does all that mean? Paul's simply saying here, you've been called to liberty. This is a letter to the Christians in Galatia. Their call to liberty was when they believed what Paul had taught, they were converted to Christianity, and their freedom and their liberty within Christ. That was their call to freedom. Now, he's cautioned them here, and he says, don't let this liberty or freedom, don't use it as an opportunity for flesh. Don't use it as an opportunity to go back into the old world. Don't use it as an opportunity to go back into the old law, into the old teachings, into the old traditions. Don't think, and Bruce brought this up this morning, don't think just because you're once baptized, always baptized, and you're saved forever. You still have to live the life worthy of the calling. And that's what Paul's simply saying here. You can't, just because you have been granted this liberty, you've been granted this freedom, you can't go back into your old ways. You serve, you love, and serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. What's that one word? Christ and love. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I'm pretty in love with myself. Y'all know that. So, when I read this, that means I got to have a love that I've got for me, for those of you. And that's what Paul's telling these people. You have a love for your neighbor as you do yourself. And then he goes on and he says, now if you bite and devour one another, all right, if you bicker and pick at each other, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Okay? Simply put, it causes division. It causes contentious people. It causes things to happen that we don't want to happen. And that's an attitude that was going on, because they were being false taught. They knew they were being false taught, and they couldn't get away from it, and it was getting back in their lives, and it was all devouring one another. It was eating them up. We'll have the same thing if we don't stay with the light and the word and steadfast in what we know, and we go back in and grab a hold of part of the old world we came out of. We're going to have this same thing going on. You're going to get eaten and devoured. Pretty soon, you're right back out doing the same thing. All right, so those who are free, simply put here in these verses, love and serve one another. That's what we're here for. Let's take a look at 16 through 21. Paul goes on to say then, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? Walk with God, and then you won't get tied up in the lusts of the flesh. You won't get tied up in the world that you came out of. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And they are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. All right? So, you wish I could do some of this stuff. The lust of the flesh is contrary to the lust of the Spirit. If you lust after the Spirit, then you can't be lusting after the flesh. You can't have it both ways. It's the same thing as you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God, you can't serve man. You can't serve the Spirit, and you can't serve the flesh. You can't do both. So this is a reprimand. This letter is really a pretty harsh letter to the churches in Galatia. It's trying to get them back on track. Then in verse 18, it goes on and it says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Right? Now, this is back to the teachings that they were getting back into with the old law. If you're now under the Spirit and you've got Christ and you believed in Christ, I taught you and you believed it, then you're out from under that old law. You don't have that bondage of the old law anymore. You're in a freedom. In verse 19, says, now the works of the flesh are evident. It's evident. You're back in the world again. And here's what the works of the flesh are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, like Paul, I like what he says. And he lists all this stuff, and then he says, and the like. That's all inclusive. Okay? So, again, contrasting the old law to the world today, to new law, to new Christianity, new way of living today. So if you contrast that, here's what Paul's saying. When you come out of the old world, this is what you left behind. Many people. You leave that all behind. It's got to stay there. Because if you get back involved with it, it's very simply put, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, there's no black or white there. That's the way it is. That's not me saying it. That's Paul. That's God. So when you're in this freedom that we have, this freedom that we enjoy with Christ, we can't be involved with this stuff. This, to further go with Bruce's sermon this morning, is the righteous way to, or I should say, this is the way not to live righteous. We're going to look at how it is to live righteous. These are things you can't do. So those who are free ultimately will fight the flesh. They'll fight that fleshly desire. If you need help fighting that fleshly desire, then you need to know God better. You need to study more. You need to get more involved with the Word of God. And or you need to let us know as a congregation so that we can pray for you for help, for strength, and comfort. Maybe you can't do it on your own. Not everybody can. Why do we meet here tonight? Why do we meet here this morning? It's more than just worship. It's fellowship. It's a love for one another, as we saw in the previous verses. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your fellow congregants as you love yourself. It all goes hand in hand. Verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. All right? That's the fruits of the Spirit that live inside you. Now, what are those fruits? They're love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the righteous way to live. That's after you heard, you believed, you repented, you confessed, you were baptized. Now, this is what is expected of you for that freedom that you've just enjoyed. Go over those one more time. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There's a word some of us have a difficult time with. Gentleness, self-control. If you don't have self-control, then you can go back to the previous verses and look what's going to happen. And now these things, and he finishes up verse 23, against such there is no law. That's what you enjoy with the Spirit living inside you. You're out of that bondage of the old law. You're out of that bondage of the world. You're in a new world. You're in a new law. And against all these things, there is no law against them. You don't see anything in there that's bad, do you? No. There's no sorrow. There's no hate. There's no contentions. There's no divisiveness. It's all good. Those who are free bear the Spirit's fruit. Turn that around. You bear the fruit of the Spirit. The last two, three verses of this chapter, it says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What does it mean to crucify? It means to kill. You've killed the flesh. You've killed that passion to live in the world. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't just talk the talk, be able to walk the walk. We talked about things this morning about being the guy on the street corner. Bruce, help me out with the word. No. We say one thing and believe another. Hypocrite, right? You live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Don't be hypocritical about this. Don't think you're going to get away with anything because God knows it all. You think, well, maybe I ought to clean my closet out once in a while, or you know, I've got a blog going up in the morning that talks about what do you have in your tool shed. God knows what's in there. You don't have to worry about cleaning your closet out for me or anybody else. You need to worry about cleaning it out for God. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in that Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, and envying one another. If you go back to Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us everyone has a different talent. Because someone can lead singing and you can't, that doesn't mean a thing. Because some of us can preach the Word of God, stand up in front of people, and some can't, that's okay. You've got other talents to use. But don't just lean on the fact that, you know, I've got this talent and I'm good at this and I can't try something else. Called getting out of your little box. It says here, let's not become conceited, and let's not provoke one another, and let's not envy one another. Then I want to finish this up with the first 10 verses of chapter 6. We'll go 1 through 5 first, because he kind of sums up here. He said, all right, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, all right, so fall backwards a little bit, we get overtaken by a trespass. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of, whoa, how do you do this? Gentleness. Considering yourself lest you also be tempted. So, if you're going to help someone out of their problem, you consider yourself also and don't get tied up into the problem to where both of you end up over there. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you still also be tempted. So be careful. Verse 2, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Amen. If anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Coming back to not being conceited. Verse 4 says, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And again, we studied this morning in Matthew chapter 6, when it's talking about prayer and it's talking about how to act and react in the Sermon on the Mount. Let each one examine his own work. Are we doing enough? Are you happy with what you're doing in the kingdom? Having rejoicing in himself alone. Don't bring attention to everybody else about what you're doing. Doesn't matter. God's the one that matters. You want to be one of the ones that God says that, you know, well, I did this and this and this, and God says, just go away, I don't even know you. Don't get in that position. Verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Bruce isn't going to bear any load that I'm carrying. He isn't going to answer for anything I did or did not do. Each one shall bear his own load. Those who are free restore a weaker brother. That freedom we enjoy in Christ gives us the ability, gives us the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding on how to help other brothers. And then the last 6 through 10, it says, let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's pretty simple. If you're going to work with the flesh and you're going to enjoy the flesh and you're going to enjoy the world, then you're not going to enjoy everlasting life. But if you're going to enjoy the Spirit and you're going to enjoy the fruits of the Spirit and you're going to enjoy what the Spirit can do for you and how you can work in the kingdom and help God and help people, then you're going to have everlasting life. Verses 9 and 10, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't ever get tired of doing good. Don't let it get to the point where you throw your hands in the air and say, I'm done, I've been there, I've done that, and I'm not doing any more. I've done enough. If you read enough texts in the Bible, you'll know that you need to work till God calls you home. Mm-hmm. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. What does it say? If we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Therefore, there's more here than just the household of faith. It says, therefore, as we have opportunity. Now, what are those opportunities? When do those opportunities arise? I don't know, in each one of you guys' lives. I hope I have an idea when they're in front of me. Because it's pretty plain here, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. That's an all-inclusive word. It doesn't mean just, you know, a few. It means do good to all. And especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's the lesson tonight. That's the message Paul had to the churches in Galatia. They had fallen backwards. In today's vernacular, we call it backsliding. I don't like that word. I like the fact that somebody's not quite as strong as they used to be, and they need a little help. Somewhere along the way, I would have to think that if not all of us, the majority of us, somewhere in our life have been in that position. We've just not quite been as strong as we needed to be. And thankfully, because we're sitting here tonight, because we know our responsibilities, we know what we need to do, someone helped us. Someone picked us up. God answered a prayer that we spoke to him. But something happened to get us back on the right path. But there are those that need help. Now, we don't necessarily know who needs help unless someone says they do. Unless someone asks for help. There's nothing wrong to ask for help. We sing a song, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Ask for help is being humble. It can be humiliating to say, I need help. But to a fellow brother and sister, after what we've seen tonight, it should not be. We should not be afraid of that. So the invitation tonight is this. If we have any issues in our life that we need help with, if we've got things that have dragged us back into the world that we need to get rid of, if you need help with those things, let us know. We'll go to the Father in your behalf. If there is anyone here that's not been baptized, the waters are ready. And we would take this opportunity at this time to invite anyone that has any issues to come forward as we stand and sing.
I'm in the way, the bright and shiny way. I'm in the glory land way. Telling the world that Jesus saved today. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way.
Thank you for that message, Dick. I just have to say I love the Word of God. I've read those passages a million times. I've probably heard Dick even teach from those a few times. And every time I see something new, a little twist of something, I love the Word of God. Thank you. I hope we take these words to heart and use them this week. Let us bow as we're dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the sins that we commit. We hope that we'll be inspired this week to let our light shine, to live by the Spirit rather than the flesh. Please let us be good examples to those that we come in contact with, and be with us individually as we go into this new week. Again, please forgive us for the sins that we commit, and our desire is that we will all get home safely and be able to come back here the next time. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen.